today, and I think, I don't know, wherever else the Lord wants to go, Matthew 10. And, yeah, thank you, Lord. Father, thank you for your word this morning, God. I thank you for everybody's hearts here, God. They're hungry, God. They want you, Lord. They're here because they're hungry, God. Every heart's here because they want something and they want to be changed and they want to, you know, you said your word is our bread, God. So just thank you, Lord, that we're not living just by bread, but every word that comes from your mouth, Lord. And so I pray that you would just speak through me and communicate your heart, Lord. I thank you for your presence. And so we just say, come, Holy Spirit. Just dominate this atmosphere, Lord. God, release your angels, Lord. Release your joy, God. And we thank you that you get really happy when people come home and get saved, God. You get really happy when the lost come. You get really happy when just one sinner repents, God. You get really happy when your kids get sent out, Lord, to do the work. And I'm going to pause real quick, but, you know, Pastor Teresa is speaking last week about pray that the Lord of the harvest would send out laborers into his harvest. And just like think about this for a second. It feels like there's more emphasis on Christians actually. The prayers should be more that we actually do our job as opposed to praying that the lost would be saved. Whoa. And so put a hand on your neighbor and let's just do that real quick. Lord, we kick them out into the field, Lord. Yeah, Father, I thank you for every person, God, in this room. God, we pray. We do pray that you would save the lost, but when I read the scriptures, I find that there's more prayers that we would actually do our job. And so, Lord, there's probably because there's more warfare that against Christians doing their job as opposed to there is the lost coming. And so, God, we just, you know, we pray in Jesus' name that you would send these laborers out to the harvest field, God. These people that are sitting right here, God, in Jesus' name. God, we thank you that you would send them out like Paul would pray. He wouldn't pray that, oh, pray for the people that they would get saved. He would pray that I would proclaim the gospel boldly. And so I pray that, you know, if Apostle Paul needed boldness, then Lord Jesus, we need help today. And so, Lord, we pray for boldness to come upon your people. We pray, God, that you would open a door for the message, God, that you would give us open doors of opportunity, that this good news of Jesus, that the power and the love of Jesus would be made known through each person. And God, that you would just lift off the spirit of intimidation and fear off of our lives. God, that we are not on the defense, we are on the offense. And we have the ball and we're moving forward. And it's first and goal. Come on, some of you know what I mean. It's and all we got to do is just make the play. So God, thank you. We're not on the defense. We're on the offense. We're on the winning team. And God, thank you for boldness. Thank you for courage. And I pray that we would proclaim the message clearly as we should, because we are an ambassador. We are ambassadors for this gospel in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, that was the message. So, yeah, just do it. Hey, I feel alive now. Matthew 10, verse 7, Jesus is commissioning his disciples on their first missions trip. And, you know, they hung out with them and did things. And then he said, all right, you did it with me. Now you're going to go do it. And this is what he said, verse 7, as you go, everyone say, as you go. Preach this message. He said, the kingdom of heaven is near. So as you go, preach that the kingdom is near. Verse 8, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, and drive out demons. Freely you have received, and freely give. Everyone say, boom. I mean, understand that this is legal for us to access. This is a command not only to them, but to us. All right, you don't believe me. Okay, I got to keep working. Okay, Matthew 28, if you just keep going to the right in your Bibles, the Great Commission. Matthew 28, verse 18. This, you know, how many understand that people's last words are generally pretty important, you know? When they're about to leave, the last words that they say are really important. These are the last words of Jesus. Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go. Everyone say, go. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And verse 20, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Well, what did he just command them in chapter 10? As you go, preach this message, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, and cast out demons. So how many understand that part of the Great Commission is actually to teach people what Jesus taught them? Did that make sense? Like, everything that Jesus taught his disciples is accessible to followers of Jesus today, because part of the call to make disciples was, Matthew and Peter and Bartholomew. You know, Bart never gets too much, you know, airplay, so I just want to just throw that out there. He was in the group, you know what I mean? You got Bart, you know, you got, you know, the good Judas, and there's just James and all these guys. There was two Judases, just throwing that out there. Okay. You know, they're in the group, and they said, listen, hey, you remember when I sent you out and said, as you go, preach the kingdom and actually demonstrate the kingdom of God? Remember that part? They said, yeah. Okay, now I want you to do the same thing that I did for you, but now I want you to find 12 other dudes and do the same thing, and the 12 other dudes are going to do the same thing, and the 12 other, you follow what I'm saying? And it's the gospel spreading around the whole earth. Are you with me? So he said, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. How many of y'all know that's exciting news, that when you're going to go do impossible things, you need Jesus? And so that's why it's good that Jesus said he's with us. And so that's what makes Matthew 10 legal for us to access and to live out. And so Pastor Trace did an amazing message last week about harvest of nations, and that we pray and that we send and that we go, and we should all be doing this in some kind of capacity. You know, we can all pray and we can all send and we can all go. It just depends where. You follow what I'm saying? And so, you know, while we're preparing for our trips next year, there is so many trips. There's a local trip here. There's in St. Croix. There's, you know, at Mozambique, Botswana, Zambia, Brazil. I mean, it's just wild. There's just so many places we can go. But help me understand, that's next year. And there's a life to live right now, and this is what I want to speak to us about, because the mission field is not just an event. It's a lifestyle. It's being on mission everywhere you go. It's what the title of this message is, an as you go lifestyle. This is what Jesus said: as you go, go and share this message of the kingdom, and not only do that, but demonstrate it. I mean, we love it. Like, we, my friends, you know, and we support them. Sean and Boyana Atwood, they're like live in missionaries in Mozambique. They're probably going to be living in other nations for the rest of their lives, not so much in America. And help me understand that a smaller percentage of us are going to live in long-term missions. But a larger percentage of us are going to go on a short-term mission. Hopefully every single person that comes to Summit is going to go at one point to a short-term mission trip. But I mean, we look at long-term missions, man. There's these people called the Moravians. I don't know if you know who these guys are, but there's this group of radical Christians in Germany. And in the 1700s, there's a story that is told, and some of the details probably maybe have been a little embellished, but for the sake of just this amazing heart that these people, there's two of these guys that literally wanted, they felt called to preach to the slaves that were going on in this time, and they actually said, well, we will go preach, we will go live among the slaves so we can preach the gospel to them. And the story is told that they actually wanted to sell themselves into slavery so that they could preach the gospel to the slaves. Come on! And the story goes like this, that as they're boarding the ship and they're making their way, they call out to their friends on the ship and they say, "Worthy is the Lamb to receive the reward of his sufferings." And they went off and began to be ministers. And I mean, come on, like that, just the story, the heart of that is like, whoa, people giving their entire lives for this cause in another nation or another place. I mean, this is the heart of God, that we would give our lives entirely for this thing. But some of us, it's just not the call to live in another nation and do this thing. And so we'll go on short term, but there is something that we can literally do 24/7, you know, 7 days a week, you know, like 365 days, you know, even 366 on leap year. You know what I'm saying? Like I'm saying, I think that's right. I don't know. Maybe it's the other way around. It's the as-you-go lifestyle, and you can live it literally everywhere you go, and you can be on mission everywhere you go. So that's number one, is live an as-you-go lifestyle. And let me just clarify this. We live an as-you-go lifestyle. What I mean by this is that maybe not everyone in the room is going to go to Africa, which you should, but, you know, maybe that's just not a practical thing for everyone. But y'all go to the grocery store, and y'all go to restaurants, and y'all go to gas stations, and y'all go to Starbucks, for crying out loud. You know what I'm saying? I found out your secret. You know, like, you all are going to all these places. You all go to work, hopefully. You know, like, you, some of you go to school, And all y'all go to church, but as you go, you preach and demonstrate the gospel. You represent the Savior. It's not just an event, it's a lifestyle. So this is what happened. If you look at Acts chapter 3, verse 1, it says this. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. How many understand? They're going to church. And on their way to church, verse 2, now a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. And some of you guys know the rest of the story. They're walking up, and man, they must have passed this guy all the time because they hung out in the temple, but for some reason, Holy Spirit highlighted this dude, and it said that he was crippled for over 40 years. He was born like this, and for some reason, Holy Spirit highlighted, but notice, that wasn't the meeting. The meeting was their prayer meeting that they were trying to get to go to church, but on their way to church is when the miracle happened. Come on, man, we can't wait to get to church to meet God. But how many of y'all know it's really awesome when you have church on the way to church? And this is the lifestyle God's calling us to. So they see him, the guy starts begging for money, and Peter says, you know, in so many words, listen, I ain't got no money, but what I have, I give you. And he grabbed him by the hand and said, in Jesus' name, walk, and he lifted him up. How many of y'all know this is like powerful risk-taking God moments, you know, when you grab a dude who's been crippled for 40 years and lift him up off the ground, you better know you're walking in power, you know. Come on. But these guys, it wasn't just an event for them. This is what we got to catch. It was the way they lived their lives. So this wasn't the first person they ever saw God healed. It was the way they lived their lives for the past 3.5 years by walking with Jesus. That everywhere they went, they demonstrated the gospel and they preached the good news of Jesus. Are you with me? And so it wasn't a surprise for them. They lifted the dude up. The dude, it said instantly his feet became strong. He started leaping and jumping and praising God. So if you're ever wondering, you know, why these people at Summit, they worship passionately, there's the scripture for it. You know, just read Acts 3. It's normal. And you know, this guy leaps. And then all of a sudden a crowd gathers because they see, they know the dude. And they go like, whoa, this guy got healed. And Peter, you know, because he just takes the opportunities. And he just started preaching the gospel. And man, a couple more thousand people were added to the church that day. Not because they planned a crusade, not because they planned an event, but because Christians were being Christians and living as they go a normal Christian lifestyle. Come on. The thing is that we got to realize that the book of Acts is not extraordinary Christianity. It's normal Christianity. To be like, man, you're doing extraordinary things for God. But like, dude, I'm just trying to be normal, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just trying to say if I lived in those days, if Andrew Hopkins was inserted into Book of Acts, would I be normal or abnormal? You know what I'm saying? We got to ask ourselves these questions because normal Christianity is not just sitting in a church service. Normal Christianity is hearing the word and doing the word and looking in the mirror and not walking away and forgetting who you are. You know what I'm saying? And living this thing out and going like, oh, God put me in this region for a reason because he has people he wants to reach with the good news. Come on, man. We were just at the coffee shop, Old California Coffee House, last night. We got to play like a 2-hour set of worship music in the public place. I mean, you know, Matt and Annie and Le'Aaron. And I was just, for the first set, I was just playing the background, playing guitar. And these dudes were preaching. They were like, yeah, I wrote this song because Jesus died on the cross and he loves us so much. And if you never experienced his love, we just want you to experience it right now. You know, all this stuff. I'm like, come on, you know, preaching the gospel. But, you know, we're just going out playing music, loving God. We're being who we are. And people got touched. People got touched. We, you know, Taylor and I, wherever Taylor is, I think he's praying right now. Yeah, that's good. Thank you, Lord. That's also part of the deal. Taylor, you know, this guy, God was highlighting this guy to us afterwards, so we just went up to him, and I only, you know, I only had a little piece of the puzzle, man, and that's why I brought Taylor with me. How many of y'all know Jesus sent him out 2 by 2, you know what I'm saying? And so we just started prophesying to this guy, and it just so happened, because when I pulled up to the place, I felt like God was going to heal someone's neck, and so I walked up to the lady, and I said, you know, and we prophesied to this guy, and just released you know, prophecy, aka supernatural encouragement. You know what I'm saying? And we just started encouraging this guy, and Taylor had some words about him, and it was just connecting with him. And then I asked, does someone here have pain in their neck? And I thought it was on the right side. Apparently, for her, it was on the left side. I'm like, cool, 5 inches off, I'm good. You know what I'm saying? Like, it works. You know what I mean? We prayed for her, and she said it was feeling better. And then Taylor started prophesying to her. She started tearing up and all this stuff. And it was just because we're living our lives, and God began to highlight people that he wanted to talk to. It's normal Christianity. And I've been on a pursuit for the last, you know, 10, you know, I don't even know how long. I got saved in 2001, so that's 13 years. I've been on a pursuit for the last 13 years trying to be normal. You know what I'm saying? It's like Jesus said, I tell you the truth. Whoever believes in me will do what I've been doing and greater works than these. Man, I'm still trying to catch up just to the bar that Jesus set. You know what I'm saying? Walking on water, multiplying food, raising the dead. You know what I'm saying? You know, like, you know, it's not like I run into dead people all the time, but if I do, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to command them to come alive. You know what I mean? Like, and I'll, you know, get what I'm saying? It's like, and I haven't ran into anybody with leprosy either, but I'll take the command. You know, if I see someone with leprosy, I'm going to pray. You got eczema? Cool. That's almost like it. So we'll pray. You know what I mean? Just a small percentage. I don't know. You know what I mean? We started this thing a couple years ago called Prophetic Dinners. And it just came out of a desire to do this As You Go lifestyle. And so it was Susan Taylor's birthday, and we were at Elephant Bar one time, and I just thought, like, hey, we're all on fire Christians. Let's ask the Lord what he wants to say to the server. And let's just, and it's funny because, you know, as when we first started doing this stuff, it's like, I don't know how to say this, but, you know, you tell everyone, let's all listen to God, and all of a sudden, you know, we're talking, we're eating food, and then it gets quiet. And we're all just like this. Can you imagine walking by our table, you know what I'm saying? Like, you might hear some speaking in tongues for a little bit because we're like, Lord, we need you to speak to us right now. Shandala Baba, help me. And then all of a sudden we, like, would hear God, and we started writing words on this paper, and we used it, and we shared it to the guy, and the guy started getting blessed. He's like, can I have that paper? And he took his prophetic words and, like, stuck it in his little server pouch and all this stuff. And I'm like, oh, this is exciting. It works in the public place, too. You know what I mean? Because this is what I've been learning, though. Like, in church, you can do the Christian things, and it works. And what I mean by that is you can put your hand on somebody, you can shut your eyes and pray in tongues for 30 seconds, and it's normal. But out there, you do that kind of stuff, you freak people out pretty consistently. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't just shout in tongues at them. You know what I mean? And you can't necessarily, you know, do the different charismatic manifestations that I love. You know, and you know, if you know me, you know I love this stuff. You know. But you just can't do this stuff. You have to be naturally supernatural. You know what I mean? You can't be like praying, go like, whoa, that was the glory right there. Touch, touch. You know, someone give me oil right now. I'm going to pour it on his forehead. You know, it doesn't work as good. Trust me. You know, you get deer in the headlight looks, and then they walk away like, I think he's from a cult or something. I don't understand this. You know, like, so I say that only because you have to practice, like, just being normal. That sounds weird. Oh, that's weird that I have to say that, but I just, you know, it's fine. You just have to practice being naturally supernatural. So what that means is you're just in the middle of a conversation and you're listening to God, and you just live a normal life. It's not, I'm saying this so much, it's not an event, it's a lifestyle. And events are always a catalyst for a lifestyle, but you gotta just know it's just normal life. And so anyway, we, another one of these times, one of my favorite ones that we did was we went to Denny's after the Crux one time, and there was a grip load of us. You know, we, like, took, like, a few tables full, and we were sitting there, we're like, hey, let's do a prophetic dinner. And so the server was there, and we started asking the Lord for words, and we started writing them down. And I remember Devin had a word for the server, for the girl, and then John DeRowan had a word of knowledge that there was pain in her foot. And so we shared all these words, and she looked like she was receiving them, and we're like, do you have pain in your foot? She's like, actually, yeah, I do. So we're like, okay, can we just pray for you? So we prayed once, nothing happened. What do? Do it again. Yeah. We're like, oh, that's weird. It might be broken. Hold on. You know what I'm saying? Like, come, Lord. Okay, let me try that again. And so we prayed again, and then I said, chest your foot out. And she started pushing on her foot. She's like, it's all better. It's totally healed. And we're like, yeah, you know. And then all of a sudden, you know, we're like, and I just simple, and then right there, hey, do you know you're going to heaven? You know you're born again? She's like, no, I'm not sure, you know. And then Rochelle and I prayed with her, and she accepted Jesus right there in Denny's. Come on. So good. Yeah, if you want to give God praise, you can. Yeah. It's so fun. All I'm trying to say is this is the lifestyle that we are called to. We don't have to wait for an event to represent Christ. It's who we are right now. It's who we are right now. And like I was saying earlier, what I've learned on the mission field actually has trained me for home. And what I've learned at home has trained me for the mission field. It's this exchange. And so sometimes we say things like, you know, why do you, you know, it's only happening in third world nations, or why do you go over there in the neighborhood? It's like, we do both. We do both because God called us to the nations, and he's also called us to our own nation. Pastor Nell did a message called From Our Backyard to the Bush. And this is our call. And man, I'm telling you, I wouldn't understand this as you go lifestyle if I never went out to the mission field in other nations. Because there's something that I learned in Brazil getting kicked out there. Like, I don't know, man, Pastor Dan was there with me. We evangelized together once, and then he had to go do some other things and said, all right, you're the evangelist now. And I'm like, Lord Jesus, help me. You know, like, you know, it's the plan of discipleship is you watch me do it, then you help me do it, and then I help you do it, and then I watch you do it. All that happened in one day. You know what I'm saying? It all happened one session, and then he had to go do some pastor conference, different things like that. He said, you're the evangelist. I'm like, oh, man. How many of y'all know you learn a whole lot when you are doing it? You know, you learn way more by, like, you know, activities and activations than you do just by sitting, you know. And so, you know, I got kicked into this thing and started preaching the gospel on the streets, and I had to learn it really quick. And, you know, I had to, like, oh, man, how do I do this? All I know is, like, John 3:16. Like, is that good enough? I don't know, you know. Like, that only takes me, like, 30 seconds to share. Like, I think you're supposed to at least do, like, 5 or 10 minutes, you know what I mean? Like, I don't... All these things, and I just memorized the Romans Road and all this stuff, and it taught me how to preach the gospel in a succinct way to where it wasn't too long but not too short, but also, you know, and all this kind of stuff. But it happened because, man, I got kicked out of the boat, so to speak. I got ekbaloed, you know what I mean? You know, Pastor Daniel, man, I'm telling you, if he didn't do that, I wouldn't be who I am today. And he'd just be like, oh, you got it. Shaboom! You know what I'm saying? You got it! I'm like, oh. Jesus loves you, you know, like, you want to get saved. And then people started putting their hands up, people started coming forward. The words of, I didn't even know what a word of knowledge was, but I got one, you know. And God told me something about this lady, and she started crying, and then she got saved. It was just so amazing. And so I'm telling you, you got to go to the mission field, and then take that home, and you got to do it here, and then take it there. It's an exchange. Something happens when we're not just focused on ourselves. But when we go out to the world, I mean, I'm telling you, if you catch this heart, and I'm believing this is what's happening today, you catch this heart of the as-you-go lifestyle, some of the issues in your life are actually going to just fall off of you. Because when you begin to take your eyes off of yourself and what you're going through and become not a dead sea, but the rivers of living water, Holy Spirit coming through you, when you become a giver, God gives back to you. And I mean, I'm telling you, selfishness is one of the worst enemies of your life. You know, it says love does not seek its own. So love, actually, if you want to walk in love, it's really completely not including yourself. You with me? So, yay, okay, I have notes. I'll use them. So anyway, the as-you-go lifestyle, heal the sick, raise the dead. And I'm not even lowering the bar on that. Like, seriously, if you run into dead people, command them to come up to life in Jesus' name. Like, you know what I'm saying? If you find lepers, people with leprosy, then command, you know, their bodies to be healed. Cast out demons, you know, that's what Jesus said. I'm telling you, there's people who are dealing with more demonic stuff than we ever realize. And it's not like just a third world nation thing as well. Like, there's people all around us that deal with demonic issues and different things that, you know, a lot of times you don't even realize this, but the fear is actually a spirit. And it's a demonic force. You know, that's why God did not give us a spirit of fear, because it's a spirit. It's not just a feeling. You with me? And so sometimes people aren't possessed, but they're oppressed, and a demon's tormenting them, and they're dealing with things like condemnation. That's a spirit. Are you with me? Shame is a spirit. It's not from God. You know, the orphan stuff and all this stuff, it's demonic. You know, the religious spirit trying to perform for God, that's demonic. You don't have to earn any, perform to earn anything from God. And I'm telling you this only because sometimes you might be kicking demons off of people's lives and you didn't even realize it. You're fulfilling Matthew 10 by when you pray for someone and say, hey, there's mercy for you. You thought God was angry, but he had mercy. And I want to pray for you that God, and they receive forgiveness of their sins, and they the way that they put it in their words is, oh, I just feel lighter, or I just feel like this heaviness lifted. It's probably because you kicked a demon off of them. Is that kind of too crazy to say right now? Are you okay with me? This is like normal Christian life, and so I'm saying this again. I want you to catch this. Raising the dead, cleansing leprosy, casting out demons is not for the super spiritual, you know, guru people that have been serving the Lord for 20 years. It's for normal Christian people just like us. Are you with me? Come on, look at your neighbor and say, he's talking about you now. This as-you-go lifestyle includes, listen, this as-you-go lifestyle includes tipping well at restaurants, especially on Sunday. One of our friends works at Chili's in Escondido, and they were just telling us last Sunday, this wasn't like a three-year-old tent. Last Sunday, they're saying that the people at Chili's hate working on Sundays because the people who come in after churches are stingy on their tips. Are you kidding me? Come on, man. We have the most generous God in the world, and you represent him. Come on, man, and check this out. Where sin abounds, grace abounds even more. So if they have horrible service, guess what? Grace abounds even more. 20, 30, 50% tip, even more. That's just too much. Well, you represent a kingdom that says where sin abounds, grace abounds even more. Smile at me, because that's a good word. That was horrible service. You don't deserve it. Well, you didn't deserve heaven, did you? But he gave it to you anyway. Come on, this is real, like as you go lifestyle. You never clock out of representing Jesus. You never clock in, you never clock out. The second you got saved is when you clocked in. And then the card is just, it's totally obliterated because you're always in. It's just, you don't even have to worry about it. You're always in. You're always on. Tip well, be generous, because it's representing Christ. It is, sometimes it preaches way more than you preaching to them with your words. Because they know you're all dressed up, looking good, coming after Sunday. Okay, we'll move on forward because maybe it's like, ooh, this is tough. Prophesy, bless and encourage people, preach the gospel everywhere you go. So number two, kingdom. Kingdom is cultural transformation. Kingdom is cultural transformation. I want to explain this. Jesus said to preach this message as you go, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of God is the king's domain. That's what the word means. Kingdom, domain, king's domain. It is the reigning and the ruling of God. And so, bear with me I've talked about this plenty of times, or if you've heard me say this before. I love the Lion King, and I feel like the Lion King is just a great illustration of what kingdom of God is like. When kingdom of God is in a place, it's like, Mufasa sitting there with Simba going like, everywhere the light touches is our kingdom. I'm trying to do James Earl Jones. I can't. And then he says, but don't go to the Shadowlands. And you all know what I'm saying. The Shadowlands is full of Florins and, weird hyenas and Uncle Scar. You know what I'm saying? It's just jacked up over there. And so this is what kingdom is like. Kingdom is, so where the light was touching, there was life, there was joy, there was freedom. How many know that there wasn't really much crime going on in the kingdom of Mufasa until Uncle Scar tried to start invading on it? You following with what I'm saying? And this is what it's like when kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God comes. It's his reigning and his ruling that has dominion in an area. And so we get to partner with God and actually bring heaven to earth and bring kingdom. And so this is what it means when Jesus taught us to pray in Matthew 6:10. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's not just a wishful thinking. How many understand that if he's asking us, that the will of God, you need to pray that the will of God and the kingdom of God will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How many know it's not automatic? That means we have a job to do. And part of it is praying, and part of it is living this as-you-go lifestyle. And so when we come in, it's this supernatural demonstration, and it begins to transform culture. And that's what I mean by this. So what it would look like is that, there's, you guys are living your lives in all these different realms of society, whether you're at your job or school or whatever, and all of a sudden, because God places people like you who are representing Christ and sharing good news, it begins to get light. And it's like what, you know, Mufasa was saying. Mufasa. Sorry, it just, ooh. Okay. It begins to get light, and literally the atmosphere shifts in that place, and the culture begins to change. Crime rates begin to decrease. And somehow marriages begin to get restored. And people actually get joy in their life. I was talking to our little sister, Michaela, and she worked at Domino's Pizza for a little while she was going to school in Reading. And her boss literally told her, because she, in her interview, she said, "I'm going to bring joy to this place." That's, she said, the people asked her, "What are you going to bring that's going to make Domino's a better place?" "I'm going to bring joy." And then she took another job, and so the boss was just telling her that, we don't want you to leave because you really do change the atmosphere when you come to work. This is what kingdom does. Kingdom is his government. It's the way that when God's ruling and when he's reigning in a place, demonic stuff can't function. You know, it's just because you showed up on the scene carrying the government of heaven. Is that making sense to you? So look at this passage. You can turn all the way to your left, or you just look on the screen. 2 Kings 2. This is an Old Testament shadow, I believe, and prophetic image of what it looks like. 2 Kings 2:19. The men of the city said to Elisha, "Look, our lord, this town is well situated, as you can see, but the water is bad, and the land is unproductive. Bring me a new bowl," he said, "and put salt in it." Everyone say salt. So they brought it to him. Then he went out to the spring and threw the salt into it, saying, "This is what the Lord says. I have healed this water. Never again will it cause death or make the land unproductive. And the water has remained wholesome to this day, according to the word Elisha had spoken." Help me understand, in Matthew 5:13, Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth." And I believe this is a prophetic picture of what God is doing in our day. God is a genius by putting people like you in all realms of society. Because people could say, like, "Man, this place is bad. This place is unproductive. You know, my work, man, these people don't know God. They're just, like, you know, doing all kinds of bad stuff. And, you know, this dude's, you know, doing drugs and this part." And we start complaining about our city. We start complaining about our work. We start complaining about our school. And all the while, God's asking the question, "Well, then why are you there?" Did you get that? Like, "This place is horrible. My job is a horrible place. Well, why are you there? You were meant to change that place." And just like Elijah, the people said, the water is bad, the land is unproductive. And so the directive of the prophet was, take some salt and throw it in there. And the Lord said, it'll heal the land. You following me this morning? You go, God is genius, because he goes, "Yeah, I know it's bad. That's why I sent you there to be salt to heal it. That's why I sent you there so that way you can transform the culture there. That's why you're there so that you can literally outshine darkness there." Be like, "Oh man, this place is hard. This is hard for the gospel here." Like, I just don't believe that. Because God is genius. He takes salt and he just throws it all over the city in every single place where he wants it to be preserved. You follow the analogy here, the prophetic thing that God was doing in Elisha. And this is what God does, is he's genius in putting us. We hear the reports that the water is bad and unproductive, but God puts salt in it, and we literally get to bring kingdom as we go. A cultural transformation. And cities are not hard for the gospel. You know, like, someone tried to tell me, we were in Waikiki for our vacation, and someone's like, "Man, yeah, it's really hard for the gospel over there." I'm like, "That's not what I experienced when we're there. People are getting healed in our hotel room. People are getting healed at the Pearl Harbor Memorial Place." I'm like, everywhere I went, the gospel was working pretty good for me. I don't know what you're talking about. You know, San Francisco's hard. Well, we were just there last week, and the gospel was working really good there too. Like, it was all, people are getting healed in the hotel there too, and in IHOP, you know, this lady's back was getting healed in the IHOPs, you know, and all that. It's really hard. It's really hard. We're like, no, Jesus put salt in it. Are you with me? Look at your neighbor and say, "You're the salt he's talking about." John 4:35, "Do not say 4 months more and then the harvest. I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest." The nations are ripe for harvest. You know, Mozambique is ripe for harvest. God, you know, Botswana and Zambia and St. Croix. But how many understand San Marcos and North County are ripe for harvest? The gospel is working just as good as it did in the book of Acts. Come on, people are hungry for the gospel, and there's a longing for this. There's a longing in their soul for the gospel. God sees dead, bad, and barren places, and as a solution to heal them, He sends Christians. You're like, man, I don't know about this job. No. Watch this. Man, I'm telling you one thing. The only thing disappointing about being in full-time ministry for me, when I started working at the church, is, man, I'm not at like a secular job where I could preach the gospel to my coworkers all the time. I mean, I could try, but everyone's saved in the office, I think. No, I'm just messing. You know, I could try. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, now we just get the, you know, some demon-possessed people walking off the street and stuff, you know. So, yeah, I don't know. You know what I mean? It's just, it happens. You know, it's fine. But but I'm serious. That's the one disappointment that I, in a weird way, I envy some of you guys. Because you literally get to be around the lost all the time during Monday through Friday. You get to be around these people. You get to be the salt that heals the water. You get to be around them all the time. It's so good. It's so good. And you get to represent the King in this gospel. And so, man, I want to declare this to you guys, that your life literally improves the quality of places you go because Christ lives inside of you. You are not only blessed, but you are a blessing. Come on, man. You thought that when you got into the restaurant and then all of a sudden a huge line formed after you thought, oh, we beat the rush. No. It's probably because you're so blessed that you brought the business to them. Come on. I'm telling you the truth today. You are not only blessed, you are a blessing. Literally everywhere you go, you bless places. Come on, we would imagine if Jesus was walking through our towns today, those places would be blessed. But how many understand Jesus is walking through our towns because it's Christ inside of you, the hope of glory. And you are portable presence carriers. Everywhere you go, you can literally lift up and make the quality of those places on a higher level. You can lift up the quality of those places just by you being there and representing Jesus. Come on. I mean, I get it. Like, I get the St. Augustine, you know, preach the gospel at all times and if necessary, use words. And I get that side. But how many of y'all know you need words? Some of y'all are not sure about that. But all I'm trying to say is that phrase isn't totally biblical because it says, how can they hear unless somebody preaches to them? Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And if all times use words, no, use words all the time. Don't even wait for them to ask you what's separate about you. Just start telling them, hey, I, you're probably wondering why this place is so blessed right now. It's because Jesus is inside of me. You're probably wondering why all this kind of stuff. You're like, you know, you just got to live your lifestyle and just wait for somebody to ask you what is different about you. Don't wait. Are you kidding me? We ain't got time to wait. Jesus, come back soon. Come on. And you don't even know, man. I was 17. I almost died in a car accident, man. I praise the Lord. I got 14 more years on my life. But all I'm trying to say is you do not know. Tomorrow's not guaranteed. Don't wait for them to ask you. You go tell them. Come on. We can share this good news. And I'm telling you the truth. We are joy carriers. We are peace carriers. We are hope carriers. Look at your neighbor and say, you're contagious. You might be getting healthier just by sitting next to me. All right. I gotta land this plane. Just waiting for confirmation from the tower, but we got it. We got it. Number three is how to activate this lifestyle. Really simple stuff. 3A is awareness. Proverbs 3 says, in all your ways acknowledge Him. It literally means carry your relationship with God into every realm of life. Awareness. You got to live with an awareness of God. Practice His presence. Live like the promise that He will always be with us is actually true. And be aware of what He may be doing in someone's life. Ask Holy Spirit to speak to you. Listen for His promptings. I mean, what if He wanted you to pray for the person that's behind you in Starbucks? Like, we have to live with an awareness. Be like, man, how did you know that this is that other person need healing in their hand? It's just because I've made it a priority to practice God's presence everywhere I went. And so whenever I walk into a restaurant, sometimes if you try to, like, I don't know if Michelle feels it, sometimes we're like, she's trying to talk to me, and I'm just kind of like zoning. I'm just like scanning the place, you know, like, who does God want to touch today? You know what I'm saying? The answer is everybody, but sometimes he highlights one person. But this doesn't happen, like, accidentally. It happens intentionally. You have to be intentional about this lifestyle. And the more you make it intentional, the more it just becomes normal. And so now I don't have to necessarily try to. I just walk into places, and I'm just normal. I'm just listening to God. Like, God, who do you want to talk to? Do you want to heal somebody? Do you want to just encourage somebody? Do you want me to share the gospel? Do they need to get saved? Whatever it is, because I'm living just my life normal. So we live with an awareness of Jesus. And one question to ask is this: how can I love the person who's right in front of me? You gotta ask this question: how can I love? If you're ever going like, man, I don't know what to say to this person, how can I love the person who's right in front of me? Galatians 5 says that faith works by love. Your faith works really, really. It just works the best when you're walking in love. And the more you do this, the more natural. The third thing, or 3B, is risk. Awareness and risk. Literally, if you take these two things, awareness and risk, and you implement these two in your life, I guarantee you will see exponential results in the next month of your life. If you do it. You know what I'm saying? Because we're not hearers of the word, we're doers of the word. Awareness and risk. And then just take a risk with whatever you feel from the Lord. And sometimes the only way, if it's him, is you have to take a risk. I prayed for someone in Menchie's, the yogurt place over there, and I saw this picture of like a young kid. I was like, I feel like God's like moving in like your little brother, little sister. And I was like, do you have like a brother? And she's like, oh, actually, I'm an only child. Yeah, God's just ministering in your family, you know? I didn't sit there and go like, oh, get all down on myself. It's like, cool, I missed it. Whatever. Who cares? I'm still here and the opportunity's still here. I'm going to bless this person. And sometimes the only way to know if it's him is if you take a risk. And here's just a test. If it's not encouraging, don't say it. Be a releaser of hope. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just see that you are in some serious sin. You have definitely some real pornographic issues. And I'm going to say that in front of everybody around you. You know, and they're just like, You know what I mean? Just don't, you know. Here's a better way to say it. I just see that there's some challenging things that are going on in your life. And I just feel like the Lord's just really calling you to just great level of purity. And God's giving you the grace to do that. Cover the brother. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Did you get it? Let's all stand together. We're just gonna make some declarations, and I'm gonna bless you guys, and then you're gonna go do it, and it's gonna be great. Let's just say this together. Say, I have something to offer because I carry the presence of God. I am a difference maker and an atmosphere shifter. I am not only blessed, I am a blessing everywhere I go. People all around me are hungry for the gospel. As I go about my daily life, I am growing in my awareness of God and what he is doing. I take a risk every day in Jesus' name. I expect to have powerful divine appointments today to heal the sick, raise the dead, prophesy life, lead people to Christ, bring deliverance, release signs and wonders, and bless every place I go. I consistently bring God encounters to other people. Hey! Just lift up your hands. Father, thank you for these here. Thank you. You're raising up an army and sending them into the world. God, thank you for the international missions, and so there's going to be the most people going to international missions this year. But God, we also thank you for even today mission and the Monday mission, God. And we thank you in Jesus' name that you would release boldness and blessing and awareness. I pray for an increased awareness of Holy Spirit in each one of our lives. I pray for an increased risk-taking in every single one of our lives. And God, I thank you that we will carry your love and your gospel as we go. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you guys. We'll see you later. Prayer team can come forward if you need pray, if you have prayer needs and need healing, if you need to accept Jesus, you need to come up here.